Hello, lovers of horses and lovers of mysteries. Welcome to the show that combines your interests in one tidy package. That's right, it's Horse Mysteries. My name is David Dedrick.
My name's Lisa Williamson.
And this week we have a real barn burner for you because someone burns down a barn. No, I'm just joking. I don't know. I have no idea what the stories are. I come to them as with as much knowledge as you do, dear listener. So my reactions are real time. Real time. So, dear, what's the... Wait. You did tell me the name of this one. Was it Sabotage?
Yes.
Oh, boy. That's a good memory 2 weeks ago. Anyway, yes, that's right. So this episode is called Sabotage. Do you want to tell us what that means?
What sabotage means?
No, like why you called it sabotage.
Well, how about I tell you the story?
And well, that's what I meant. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Like, tell us a story, and then we'll figure out why you called it sabotage.
Okay.
Jeez, make it so difficult.
Or do you want the Oxford definition?
I'd like a dictionary definition of sabotage, please.
Okay. Anyway. All right. So this takes place or took place on the
weekend.
I feel
like I'm being sabotaged.
The weekend of September 5th to 8th, 2013.
2013. All right.
And the place was Burley House, Stamford, England.
I've been there.
Yeah.
I've had almost a personal tour of Burley House.
Mm-hmm.
We were so late, we were one of the last tours, so we basically just got our own personal private tour of Burley House.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty nice, pretty exciting.
It was cool. Okay, so what happened? Rapidly rising New Zealand eventing star Jonathan or Jock Paget wins England's prestigious Land Rover Burley International 3-day CCI 4-star event on the horse Clifton Promise.
It's easy for you
Promise.
To say. Sorry, what was the name of the horse, Jerry?
Clifton Promise.
Clifton Promise, yeah. All right.
So that horse was owned by New Zealand-based Clifton Stables.
Okay.
Paget's win at Burley puts him in serious contention for the eventing's rarely achieved Rolex Grand Slam. Because earlier in the season, Paget had already placed first at the badminton event. So now
could also play badminton.
Yes.
Pretty talented horse.
Mm-hmm. So now all that was needed to complete the trifecta was to win at Rolex, Kentucky. But a month after the Burley event, on October 14th, 2013... the FEI notifies Paget and the horse's owner, Clifton Stables, through their national body, Equine Sports New Zealand, that the horse, Clifton Promise, had tested positive for the illegal drug reserpin. Clifton Promise had been selected for drug testing at the event on September 8, 2013, following the jumping competition. So the FEI immediately issues a provisional 2-month suspension to Paget and his coach, Australian native Kevin McNabb, from any upcoming competitions. So on the table is a 2-year suspension if found guilty.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Coincidentally, the horse McNabb was riding at the same competition. Clifton Pinot was also owned by the Clifton Eventing Stables and also tested positive following it having been selected for sampling on September 6th, the day of the dressage competition.
Are you going to tell us what reserpin is?
Yes, I will.
Okay. I won't ask that question then.
Okay. So McNabb had already received notification of the positive test through his own national sports body, Equestrian Australia, on October 13th, 1 day prior to Paget receiving his notification. Both men protest their innocence. Paget makes a post on his Paget Eventing Facebook page stating, this is a quote, "To my wider team of supporters and friends, I wanted to let you sick that we were shocked to be advised that Clifton Promise had tested positive on a banned substance. We are awaiting the B sample and are focused on establishing the probable cause," end quote. So Clifton Eventer's stable owner, Frances Stead, states emphatically that her rider, Jock, would never cheat. Their barn would never drug their horses, and they have no reason to drug their already winning horses. So the team claims sabotage.
Ah, I get it now.
Okay. So.
So they're suggesting that some other team is somehow introducing reserpin into their horses.
Yes. Yeah. That was the supposition.
Perhaps with a needle on a really long pole.
Mm-hmm. Something like that.
They're riding by. They just stick it out from behind a tree and
perhaps
jab the horse. Really? You think that could be it? No. Better idea. Bow and arrow.
Oh, it could work.
Put a needle on a arrow. Shoot it. I think that's probably best. Oh, even better idea. While the horse is walking by, just drop the needle like a dart from a tree.
I see now why Sneaky Dragon goes on for so long.
Just trying to make it entertaining. Not that you're not entertaining. I'm just trying to like liven it up.
Yeah,
we're hearing
yeah.
a lot about reserpin, but you're not telling us what it is.
No.
All I'm imagining is it something that turns people into snakes.
Yeah. Might be.
Or no. Back into snakes.
Yes.
If a snake is somehow turned into a human.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you want to hear about who the Jock Padgett is?
Yes.
Jock Padgett was born in New Zealand in 1983, but moved with his family to Australia in 1986. He was not from a horsey family and did not start riding until he reached the age of 18. At that time, he is working on a construction crew as an apprentice bricklayer. Weird career.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Yeah. Did he inspire the REM album?
No.
Life's Rich Padgett?
Maybe. Okay. Yeah. To further his equine educational interests, Padgett first attended rodeo school. From there,
he was a bricklayer.
Yeah. From there, he switched to the sport of three-day eventing, where he experienced a meteoric rise, finding himself competing at the three-star level within 2 years of starting the sport. So for the uninitiated, three-day eventing is a three-phase Olympic sport that involves dressage, cross-country riding, and stadium jumping. The sport has held the spot a number of times as the most dangerous sport in the world based on deaths that occur during competition. A CCI three-star is an advanced-level international competition. There are only 7 events in the world at the CCI four-star level, including the World Championship. By 2007, Padgett had met wealthy sponsor Frances Stead, who had just bought property in Auckland to expand her Clifton Eventing Stables. Stead was English, but living in New Zealand when she started the stables. A few years later, in an ad, she stated that Clifton Stables' goal was to carefully handpick a small number of horses to become world-class eventers. Over a 15-year period, the stables had produced 8 horses that had gone on to represent the New Zealand team internationally under 6 different riders. By 2008, Padgett had been named as principal rider for Clifton Eventing and thus had access to the extensive financial support of his sponsor, Frances Stead, as well as being provided with a barn of top-quality horses. He was soon named a member of New Zealand's high-performance eventing team. At the 2011 Burley event, the USA-based online magazine Eventing Nation reported, this is a quote, Jock Padgett rode with maturity well beyond his years to get some really nice moments from Clifton Promise. They have improved almost beyond recognition since Rolex 2010. By 2012, Padgett was named to the New Zealand Olympic team. At the London Olympics, the pair finished 10th individually and were part of the team that brought home the bronze medal. The following year, riding Clifton Promise, Padgett won the prestigious badminton event, making him the first New Zealander to do so since Mark Todd's win in 1980. That same year, he won the British Open Championship at Gatcombe on Clifton Lush, which was then followed by his win at Burley on Clifton Promise. The Burley win was then taken away from Padgett following the positive drunk sample for reserpine. Now we can find out about what reserpine is.
Well, it's about time.
Mm-hmm. So reserpine is a drug used in the treatment of high blood pressure in humans.
That's not what I was expecting.
No, me neither. The antihypertensive actions of reserpine are involved in controlling heart rate, force of cardiac contraction, and peripheral vascular resistance. It can also be prescribed to control psychotic symptoms. In veterinary medicine, reserpine is used as a long-acting tranquilizer to subdue excitable or difficult horses, and therefore has been used illicitly for the sedation of show horses and other horses that owners want to have appear quieter. Additionally, reserpine is used to subdue animals that cannot be approached and that need to be medically subdued through the use of dart guns.
Oh, there you go. Not so crazy after all, hey?
Okay. So in the Western world, reserpine was first isolated for medical use in 1952.
You know what? I didn't even think of a dart gun.
Oh, but you're close.
I was thinking bow and arrow, dropping it from a height, a tree maybe. What was my first one? Oh, a stick, like a pole, a long pole with it. You know what? Dart gun. That's so obvious. It was right there in front of me.
Amateur.
It's true. I am an amateur at inoculating horses.
Yeah. So it comes from the dried root of the Ravophilia serpentina, or Indian snake root, and has been used for centuries in India for the treatment of insanity, as well as for fever and snake bites.
Does it cause insanity?
No, I think it's supposed to cure it. So Gandhi is said to have used reserpine as a tranquilizer.
Gandhi used it?
Yeah.
Who is he tranquilizing himself?
Yes.
Okay.
He's known to be pretty tranquil.
But I thought it came from like meditating in his inner self, not now you're really blowing Gandhi's whole reputation now, right?
Yeah. Secrets of our idols.
It's true. Yeah. Clay feet.
Okay, so reserpine was also the first compound ever to be shown to be an effective antidepressant in a randomized placebo-controlled trial, and is currently being used in a study in the use of animals in models for depression.
So wait, it's effective for depression in animals or effective for depression in people?
In people, and they're using it in animals to experiment for people, like as the first step.
So are they saying like its use in India was used for treat depression, or was it the first drug that was introduced into like Western medicine as a treatment for depression?
It was first isolated for medical use in the Western world, 1952. It was also the first compound ever to be shown as an effective antidepressant ever.
Wow! So before that, if you had depression,
mm-hmm.
But before that, you just sucked it up, I guess, or drank.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever. All right.
Wow, okay.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So an 1952.
Animal.
1952. Yeah,
1952. Okay. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah.
I was just trying to like figure that out.
Yeah, me too.
Sorry to badger you.
That's all right. So in animal use today, reserpine is classed as a psychotropic agent and has been used as a long-acting tranquilizer for horses, although its use has not been extensively studied. Side effects include drowsiness and colic. It is an unusual drug in that it can take many hours or even days to reach full effect, and effects can last for many days after the last administration. Dogs are extremely sensitive to reserpine, and a single 10 milligram dose can be fatal.
Wow.
So reserpine is listed as a banned substance under the FEI's equine prohibited substance list, as it is a tranquilizer with behavioral modification side effects. So we've had the positive.
Yes.
Yeah.
Positive thing. We know what it is now.
Mm-hmm. So following the initial positive drug test for reserpine that happened on September 8th, 2013. Yep. So this going forward, that was what we will call sample A.
Okay.
So that involved both blood and urine samples. Paget publicly protested his innocence.
Okay.
So as person responsible, Paget's coach, Kevin McNabb, was also implicated and suspended. So he too protested the outcome of the test. So additionally, as we said earlier, Clifton Pinois, another Clifton Aventer horse that McNabb had been riding at the same competition, had also tested positive. So the implications for the team were massive, as all concerned faced an immediate suspension from either national or international competition for 2 months pending the outcome of the case. So Francis Stead, the owner of the horses, stated that Paget was an extremely honest person and would never drug his horses. Likewise, she believed the same for McNabb. Questions were raised about the possibility of an outsider committing sabotage of this team by illicitly putting the drug in the feed or administering it through some other means. The stratospheric rise of this star team made jealousy a real possibility in a sport that typically takes one decades to gain mastery.
I don't think that's the answer.
No? So security at the stable was looked into. It was noted that while the gate to the road was always closed, the feed room, which did have a lock, was typically left unlocked. There was also some speculation that an outsider may have gained access to the contents of the feed room. Paget first, however, wanted to confirm that the initial results were not the result of a lab error. So he requested a B-sample confirmatory analysis on October 23rd, 2013. He requested the analysis be performed in a different lab and that a representative attend the analysis. This testing was performed in France on November 19th, 2013. Paget also put in a request regarding ascertaining the amounts found in sample A. The FEI reported that while no qualitative analysis had been performed, the quantitative analysis showed a measure of 70 picograms per milliliter. So around that time, Paget stated in a news interview, this is a quote,
yeah.
I know I've done nothing wrong here, and we're working with a team of lawyers and scientists, and they know the hoops I have to jump through, and we're going to put together a case and prove it. It takes a lot of work, good horses, and good training. And when something like this happens, it does challenge your integrity, not only as a trainer and a rider, but as a person. It's devastating to have this happen, end quote.
Wow. I just want to point out that if you have trouble understanding how many 7 pictograms are, it's equivalent to 3 hieroglyphs.
Okay. Thank you for clearing that up.
No problem.
So the interviewer went on to make a reference to the Lance Armstrong doping scandal, to which Padgett responded, again, quote, "I don't think I'm that clever. I'm not a doper. I didn't dope this horse, and eventually everyone is going to learn that."
Okay. End quote. Oh, wow.
So at this point,
I believe him.
You do?
Yeah.
Sounds like an honest guy.
He sounds like an honest guy.
Francis said he was honest.
Well, yeah, and she's a steady person. No, I just think if you did it, you wouldn't be this upset about it. You'd be calmer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're taking Reserpine.
you're also doing it. Okay. You're strangely sedate all the time.
Yeah. Okay, so at that point, just prior to the B sample going to the lab on October 30th, 2013, it was reported by online news source Eventing Nation that the Clifton Eventing team, previously known for their openness and transparency, had, in quotes, lawyered up and gone, in quotes, noticeably silent as they awaited the lab results. Hmm. The team's last post to the public was on the Clifton Eventing Facebook page. This is a quote. "Last week, we started the first of what we thought would be a series of weekly updates on the matter of the positive A sample findings for Clifton Promise and Clifton Pinot from the Land Rover Burley horse trials and the indefinite suspension of their respective riders, Jock Padgett and Kevin McNabb. Given the likelihood that these findings will lead to an FEI tribunal hearing where they intend to prove their innocence, both riders have now engaged lawyers experienced in FEI cases." "The lawyers have advised, given the preparation for such cases is a long, complex process, we should cease making informative updates to the public. This is contrary to our own normal policy of open and frank communication on all topics. But we do fully accept that we have no prior experience at all of such FEI cases. Therefore, we will no longer be posting weekly updates from Clifton Eventers. We apologize for any disappointment, but I am sure everyone can understand that this is a very trying time when we all want to follow the advice of those who have been in this situation before." End quote. Then, on November 13th, 2013, the B sample went to the lab. The B sample once again confirmed the presence of reserpine. The results were shared with the owner, Stead, and Padgett through the New Zealand National Federation. Padgett stated at that time that he was not surprised, since the B sample had been drawn at the same time the A sample had been taken. Meanwhile, The Horse and Hound, the UK's top equestrian magazine, along with other news outlets, reported the news of the positive test results. Horse and Hound, in particular, was quick to point fingers at Padgett and his team in light of their astoundingly strong results over such a short time. On Coach McNabb's FEI profile page, he states that his motto is, quote, "Do what you have to do to get it done," end quote.
Uh-oh.
Suspicions were clearly raised.
Yeah.
An investigation headed by the Clifton Eventing Team Barn then followed. The contents of all the feedstuffs, supplements, grooming products, and any other source that may have been introduced the reserpine either purposefully or inadvertently was investigated. On January 17, 2014, Padgett submitted to the FEI a proposed theory regarding the presence of reserpine. He stated that due to the horse's high-strung nature and tendency to refuse his feed around competition time, the horse's basic nutritional intake was enhanced with the following feed supplements: Technophiles, Storm, Zycline, and Less Stress E. So these are all different supplements. He also fed regularly to other horses in his barn, and so present in all times at the feed room were the supplements Outshine, Cortflex, Strom, Appleites, and Cardafin. All of the supplements had been submitted to an independent lab for testing, and it was found that the supplement Less Stress E contained traces of reserpine. So Padgett stated that he had been using Less Stress E on his horses since 2010 on the recommendation of fellow New Zealand teammate Joe Meyer, who also used it regularly. Padgett had been impressed by the supplement's effect on his horses, and up until this occasion, both Meyer and Padgett horses had always had negative drug tests while on the supplement. Padgett stated that between July 2010 and September 2013, he had used Less Stress E at numerous competitions and always received negative test results. Padgett also claimed that prior to using the product Less Stress E, he had personally talked to Mr. Roger Hatch, director of Trinity Consultants, the company that produced Less Stress E. Mr. Hatch had confirmed the supplement contained no FEI prohibited substances. The primary ingredient in Lestress E was L-tryptophan, an essential amino acid that acts as a mood regulator. Being a naturally occurring amino acid, this ingredient tests legal. Additionally, Paget had checked with Dr. Pin, the New Zealand eventing team vet, who had also helped to ensure that the product contained no FEI prohibited substances. So Miss Swain, head groom at Clifton Eventing, confirmed that the horse had been regularly fed Lestress E numerous times before competition with no problems. She confirmed that she had never fed the drug reserpine and Clifton Eventers had never had the drug on their premises. Swain also stated that the feed room at Clifton Eventers was never locked, so there was a real possibility that an outsider could have gained access to the feed room. She confirmed, however, that the gates to the road were locked at all times. It was stated in a joint hearing that McNabb's horse, Clifton Pinois, had been administered Lestress E, Nupafeed Calmer, and SOCOM in the morning of the dressage competition by his groom, Miss Lucy Miles. The horse had received two 25-milliliter doses 1.5 hours apart just before the test. They testified that this was common practice for the stable, and this routine had been in place since 2012, always with negative test results. Dr. Pin stated that he was an FEI-permitted vet who had held the position of New Zealand team vet since 2009. He stated that he had consulted with Paget on which feeds and supplements the horses were to get, and although he could not control what Paget actually gave to Clifton Promise in real time, Dr. Pin had specifically checked all the supplements that Paget had indicated would be fed to the horses. Pin also stated that he was unfamiliar with the drug reserpine, except in its form Racolin. Although Racolin is used in New Zealand and Australia legally, he noted that it is not licensed for horses in the UK, and he stated that he had never administered Racolin to any horse. Dr. Mark Dunnett, expert witness for Clifton Eventers and consulting equine toxicologist, tested all the complementary feeds given to the horse. Reserpine was found in Lestress E. The group then collected bottles of Lestress E from other high-profile event riders, including Mr. Andrew True, Miss Janelle Richards, and Mr. Kevin McNabb. In total, 12 bottles were collected. 10 of those 12 bottles were found to contain samples of reserpine. The contents of these bottles had been manufactured between May and August of 2013. The concentration of reserpine in the bottles ranged from 0.08 to 0.11 milligrams per milliliter. Expert witness Dr. Dunnett also indicated that he had detected traces of materials derived from Indian snake root, including yohimbine, jamaline, alpha-rocosine, and corianthine. Mr. Dunnett then obtained... Well,
you know what? Those are all, funnily enough, those are all Stereolab song titles.
So Mr. Dunnett then obtained samples of 6 herbal ingredients stored at Trinity Consultants on October 2013, which he tested. Low levels of reserpine were found in 5 of them. Hydrocotyl asiatrica. Well, I don't know why I'm even trying to read these things. Glycosuria.
Don't worry, I'm writing them down.
Okay, Melissa officinalis.
Oh, I know her.
Yeah, Passiflora incarnate and Scutellaria latiflora.
Okay.
Yeah. Additionally, tests showed that reserpine had not been found in any samples taken from materials that had been supplied by the company's Herbal Apothecary or Panacea, the two suppliers of herbal ingredients to Trinity Consultants. So Mr. Roger Hatch of Trinity Consultants offered that no reserpine was stored or had ever been stored on the Trinity Consultants premises. He noticed that all batches were made to order. The bottles had a simple flip top with no tamper seal, so the possibility of contamination after the bottles left Trinity Consultants was investigated. In April of 2014, the FEI had ruled that Paget be disqualified from the Burley event competition and stripped of all medals, points, and prize money for his win in accordance with Article 9 of the EAD rules, since it had been proven in court that his horse was indeed drugged when he won the competition. That meant that the second place finisher in the Burley event in 2013, Andrew Nicholson, was promoted to first place. Nicholson was quoted as saying that, this is a quote, he was pleased that the right decision had been made, end quote. The decision made Nicholson's mount Avebury the first horse ever to achieve consecutive Burley victories. Nicholson went on to say, quote, no one likes to win this way, but Avebury did nothing wrong, and a win is a win, whether it comes 7 months later, end quote.
Sorry, is it Avery or Avebury?
Avebury, the name, like, you know.
The stones, yeah. Standing stones.
Okay. Standing stone place, yeah. Paget and McNabb were each fined 15,000 Swiss francs and made to pay the legal costs of the FEI, as well as the costs associated with the B samples. Ultimately, it was determined that the product that produced the positive drug test resulting in the horses was an over-the-counter herbal supplement called Lestress E, which was produced by Trinity Consultants of West Sussex, England. So Roger Hatch, owner and founder of Trinity Consultants, was considered to be one of the top nutritionists in equine's feedstuffs in the UK. Hatch had 40 years of experience in producing bespoke equine nutritional products, both in the UK and the USA. Mid-career, he had formed Triple Crown Horse Feeds with nutritionist Dr. Joe Yowden. The company was then bought by British Petroleum, which also owned Purina in the U.S. British Petroleum then sold Triple Crown to German interests. Hatch headed the company for a few more years until he decided to start up Trinity Consultants in 1988. Triple Crown Consultants billed themselves as a complementary horse feed company. In his continued research for more and better products, Hatch had traveled to India to learn more about herbs used for animals, in particular, those natural products that were used successfully on horses in India during the days the British Army was posted there. Paget and his team claimed that indeed their horses were fed Lestress E and were fed numerous other supplements as well. But the ingredients listed were all cleared by the FEI, and in fact, having been fed the same diet for the last five events, the horses had all tested clean on other occasions, even though they had been fed Lestress E in that time period. An FEI tribunal was held on August 6, 2014, chaired by Eric Elstad, with panel members Mrs. Jane Mulcahy and Dr. Armand Lyon. The panel took into consideration all the evidence presented, including that of an oral hearing done in London on June 3rd and 4th, 2014. The proceedings were streamlined, with Paget and McNabb holding consolidated hearings, since another Clifton Eventer's horse, McNabb's mount Clifton Pinot, had also tested positive for reserpine at the same event. During the FEI tribunal, Paget acknowledged that as person responsible for Clifton Promise, Paget accepted responsibility for the rule violation, but also stated that neither he nor any member of his staff had or would have knowingly administered reserpine to the horses. Paget stated that the reserpine that was in his horse's system would have had to come from a contaminated batch of Lestress E produced by Trinity Consultants. Paget claimed no fault or negligence and put forth a theory that the contamination was a one-off exceptional event that was limited to specific batches produced by Trinity Consultants. Ultimately, it was determined at this tribunal that in the case of Kevin McNabb, there were strong indications of intentional administration. At the tribunal, the FEI also stated that even if the administration was unintentional, that, and this is a quote, the person responsible had nonetheless accepted the risk of a contamination and could therefore not plead no fault or negligence. The FEI argued in this context that under the World Anti-Doping Code, athletes had been warned of the risk that supplements may be contaminated with prohibited substances, and that if, despite this warning, they took supplements, they were deemed to have assumed that risk. That the FEI had specifically warned riders, including through the FEI's athlete guide to the EADCMRs, that supplements could contain or be contaminated with prohibited substances. Further, that athletes expose themselves to even higher risk when using not only one, but several supplements. The FEI underlined that in the case at hand, that person responsible had administered a number of different supplements to the horse, including three that were specifically used to calm the horse in relation to the dressage test, and they said, i.e., Lestress E, Nupafeed Calmer, and SoCalm, and that therefore he was excluded from denying any responsibility through pleading no fault or negligence, end quote. So in court, Hatch admitted that he was the only person in his company involved in the production of Lestress E. Small batches were made to order by hand, and therefore Hatch himself had been the person who had made the particular batch of his company's product, Lestress E, which Paget had fed to his horse prior to the positive drug test at the Burley event. He stated that the company had never had any issues with contamination since it had opened. Under cross-examination, Hatch admitted that he was unaware of whether his suppliers knew anything about the FEI's banned substances list. He also stated that quality control would have been impossible, as the product was produced in small, made-to-order batches, that the company had neither applied for, nor been certified in, nor were they required to have a traditional herb certification, and that no good manufacturing policies had been in place. On August 27th, over the phone, this is 2013, witness Hatch had admitted that he had created a made-to-order small batch by hand that was then put into 250-milliliter bottles for Paget. One bottle was also produced for Mr. McNabb that same day. No samples of those batches had been retained by Trinity Consultants. A recall that went out tested 12 bottles of Lestress E that were returned by other riders and horse owners. Of them, 10 were found to have traces of Lestress E. Consequently, it was determined that the Lestress E given to Paget's horses had been subjected to cross-contamination at the point of manufacture, hence the presence of reserpin in the blood and urine samples. Witness Dr. Payne testified about reserpin and declared that the batch was contaminated with not only reserpin, but also with other alkaloids found in the Indian snake root plant. In the tribunal, Mr. Hatch confirmed that he had produced Lestress E, and this is a quote, in the kitchen, using a wooden spoon and a plastic bowl, both of which had been washed once every day and night with liquid. Further, he had been using one and the same cup, which had been tipped into various bags of ingredients, and that the contents of all scoops together had been mixed together. He further confirmed that there was no quality control in place for Lestress E at Trinity Consultants, end quote. Hatch later confirmed that the batch he sold to Clifton Inventors was from a concoction he had personally prepared himself in the kitchen of his own home, using a wooden spoon and plastic bowl to prepare. It had been subject to no rigorous attempt to prevent any cross-contamination, and there had been no quality control measures set in place. On June 6, 2014, the provisional suspension against Jock Paget, McNabb, and Stead Eventing Stables was lifted by the FEI. On August of 2014, Paget and McNabb were cleared of any wrongdoing by an independent FEI tribunal when the manufacturer, Trinity Consultant, of the herbal supplement Lestress E that Paget had been giving to his horses accepted full responsibility. Roger Hatch stated that the riders should not be blamed, as it was clear that the contamination occurred on site during production of the supplement. Hatch stated, quote, the riders could not be blamed for the contamination of Lestress E, and that the reserpent must have passed through Trinity Consultants, i.e. through the ingredients used, end quote. It was shown that Paget had been using the product in good faith for some time without any positive testing results, and that the particular batch Paget had been sold by Trinity Consultants was contaminated. The FEI declared Paget bears no fault or negligence. Additionally, all other fines and sanctions were lifted with the exception of the disqualification at the competition. In a huge disconnect, on the day of the FEI tribunal published the FEI tribunal published its findings, the Trinity Consultants website still had Lestress E offered for sale on its website at £17 a bottle, whereas described on the website as being free from FEI prohibited substances. The exoneration made Paget only the second rider in history to have been cleared of doping charges by the FEI, the first being British endurance rider Christine Yeoman. In spite of the wholesale exoneration of Paget and McNabb, many in the eventing community had mixed feelings. The fact that Paget had hired Yeoman's lawyer, Jeremy Dickerson, made some believe that it was simply legal wranglings by a top law firm that had cleared Paget's name. The writer of an article in Horsesport magazine claimed that, this is a quote, a very distinguished owner of four-star horses had told me several times they will walk away from the sport if Jock and Kevin get off, end quote. Dickerson takes another tack. He claims that his first experience in dealing with the FEI was in the Yeoman case, and at that time, he learned through his researchers that feed contamination, especially that of supplements, is not at all uncommon. In fact, he has stated that his researchers found at least five other previous FEI cases that could have legitimately got off using the contaminated feedstuff defense. For any rider who does not have a high-powered lawyer in their corner, however, the risk of cross-contamination leading to doping charges is a very real thing. In 2015, the World Anti-Doping Agency, WADA, with which the FEI is aligned, increased their minimum ban from 2 years to 4. So the consequences could be severe for any rider who innocently buys from a backyard feed company. The role of controlling prohibited substances in equine sport lies not with federal or local bodies, but remains with their specific governing bodies such as EC or the FEI. The FEI has issued the following statement, quote, "The FEI has published a warning regarding the use of supplements, including herbal supplements, and products of which the ingredients are unknown. Any substances which affect the performance of a horse in a calming or tranquilizing or an energizing stimulant manner and which contain a prohibited substance are forbidden. Athletes should also be aware that the use of a calming product during competition may also have important safety consequences." End quote. So in the same vein, a U.S. Equestrian Federation bulletin has stated, all in capital letters, quote, "Caution against the use of herbal natural products. Trainers, owners, exhibitors, and their veterinarians are cautioned against the use of medicinal preparations, tonics, paste powders, and products of any kind, including those used topically. Persons administering a herbal or natural product to a horse or pony to affect its performance, having been confronted by claims that the plant origin of its ingredients cause it to be permitted by the rules as well as undetectable by drug tests, might have been misled." The use of herbal and natural products in a horse or pony might result in a positive drug test, i.e. a finding of a prohibited substance, contrary to claims by those who manufacture and or market such products for profit. The plant origin of any ingredient does not preclude its containing a pharmacologically potent and readily detectable prohibited substance. Example, cocaine, heroin, and marijuana all come from plants. End quote. So following the tribunal's decision that Padgett was not at fault, Clifton Eventing Stables owner Francis Stead commenced complaining that Padgett had been denied an opportunity to attend the Rolex Grand Slam. She stated that having already won badminton and Burley, all Padgett would have needed to get the coveted Grand Slam was a win at Rolex Kentucky. However, in reality, Padgett did not, according to FEI rules, win Burley fair and square since he was riding a drug horse, whether it was something he was aware of or not. This meant that Padgett, although exonerated from the doping charge himself, was still disqualified from Burley for riding a doped horse in accordance with the FEI rules and was therefore ineligible to win the Grand Slam. By 2015, Frances Stead had moved her family from New Zealand to France and was down to 6 horses in the Clifton Eventing Stables, with some being offered for sale at that time. She posted this on one of the horse's sales ads, and this is a quote, so didn't name the horse, is offered for sale by Clifton Eventers as they have become rather disillusioned with the FEI and Equestrian Sports New Zealand as a result of events following Burley 2013. They also need to recoup some of the great expense they incurred, fully funding Kevin McNabb's defense against the FEI case. There's no regret by Clifton Eventers at having spent so much to help totally exonerate the riders and all concerned of any wrongdoing, but it has still been a very large and unexpected cost, end quote. In 2014, after being cleared of the doping charges, Padgett was back on the New Zealand team for the World Equestrian Games. Unfortunately, he had to retire on course with Clifton Promise. A week later, he went on to place 2nd in the Burley event. The horse Clifton Promise, whose registered jockey club name, so he was a thoroughbred, was Bachelor Boy, had originally sold at a thoroughbred racing auction in New Zealand as a 2-year-old for $3,000, but never made it to the track. His dam, Darn Style, also produced international event horse GB Top of the Line, who is ridden by Olivia Bunn of Australia. When Clifton Promise retired from competition in his late teens at the 2016 badminton event, he had under his belt a win at the badminton CCI 4-star, 2nds at Burley and Pau CCI 4-star, an Olympic bronze, and would have likely had the Burley win on that list if it hadn't been for the cross-contamination issue. Roger Hatch of Trinity Consultants died of natural causes a few years after this turmoil. His company, Trinity Consultants, continues to operate in the UK, and their website describes the company as a family-run business that rose from humble beginnings and is now represented by three generations. Trinity Consultants bill themselves as a top equine manufacturer of complementary feeds in the nation and has a strong base of support in the broader equine community for their personalized support. Through most of his high-level eventing career, Paget had been based at a yard in Marlborough in Wiltshire, England. However, in 2016, he returned home to New Zealand, stating that his direction was changing from riding to coaching up-and-coming riders in New Zealand. The same year, Paget had to withdraw from the Rio Olympics when his horse received a cut that required 200 stitches.
It's not a cut.
No, a gash.
Yeah.
A huge laceration. Yeah. So Paget continues to teach, and in 2019 was coaching at a clinic in Arizona. The fee to attend was $375. In 2020, Jock Paget took on a new role as high performance general manager for Equestrian Sports New Zealand. In 2023, with Paget as team manager, the New Zealand dressage team failed in their attempt to qualify for the 2024 Paris Olympic Games after two of their team horses failed the post-test mouse swab, for which the FEI has zero tolerance policy. Jock Paget's FEI page shows that in his short but brilliant international career, he won 12 of his 148 eventing starts. His last achievement listed was the 2014 World Equestrian Games on Clifton Promise, from which he had to retire. On January 11, 2022, the company Jock Paget Eventing Limited was dissolved in the UK. Paget continues to coach and is one of the clinicians at a clinic at Galway Downs Farm in California in January 2024.
Wow.
Or was. Huh. End of story.
Yes. Interesting. So what do you think? Do you think that it feels to me like the rules are pretty clear. They do give adequate warning that you know, using supplements can have a risk. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's hard to feel like that these people walked into this with their eyes closed. You know, they did have a warning. On the other side of this, though, is the idea of performance drugs, which I have trouble with when like a tranquilizer is considered a performance drug. Like, I can see a tranquilizer being used in a performance drug, let's say in dressage. It would make sense in dressage. It would make sense in an equitation class. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't make sense.
Out on cross country.
Out on cross country, that you're going to have something that's not going to stimulate the horse. It doesn't make sense of that being like a performance enhancer. I mean, I guess if the horse was so wild that you're using it to rein it in. Mm-hmm. But you're still going to cause, you know, some sort of performance problems for the horse.
Yeah.
And I'm more than familiar with that, folks. Anyway, it's a two-sided coin. It's really... You know, I can sympathize with the idea that you know, we've always done this and now we've had this problem and then, you know, it's their responsibility. But at the same time, you know, you were warned, like there's like, you know, like you don't know what, I mean, that's the problem with supplements, whether you're a human taking them or you're an animal being given them, is that there's no, unlike medicine, it is not a regulated industry.
Yes, and I think that's it. Like, who's doing the compounding of these drugs, and how is it being done? And
and what kind of shortcuts are they taking? And there's probably more regulations in producing chocolate bars with peanuts in them and chocolate bars without peanuts in them than there are like what goes into supplements. You know, so it's just like I can sympathize with them, but at the same time, I feel like we're playing Russian roulette with your supplements, and you know, and you lost. Like that's how it goes, you know.
Yeah,
like you knew the risks, and you still thought that they were worth it. Like if you're using supplements, and they do have banned
substances
in them, then you are still getting and you're getting some kind of favorable, or you thought you're getting something favorable from these supplements. Part of that favorable element is the banned substances. You know, I can see why they did it, because it's a matter of pride, et cetera, and they don't feel like they were cheating. And they weren't cheating. I shouldn't say that they weren't cheating. They were cheating in the sense that, you know, there's that great sports expression, if you're not cheating, you're not trying in sports. You know what I mean? Like, if you're not pushing it to the envelope, you know, and I think when they say that, they don't mean like out and out cheating, but just that if you're not doing everything you can to win
right
in sports, then you're not really trying. And so obviously they saw a benefit to the supplements, or at least they thought there was a benefit mm-hmm. to the supplements. They were using them with their eyes open, and, you know, and despite warnings, they did it and they got caught with a banned substance, which, let's say this, they had the most mentally healthy horses. Those horses had like no depression.
Yeah. Well, there is that. Yeah, I think, though, yeah, when you have horses that are well prepared, which there seem to have been.
Yeah, what's the purpose of this?
Yeah, the use. Yeah, I think we've fallen into this kind of magic pill, what I always call a magic pill mentality, that, you know, everyone mm-hmm. just wants, you know, this one little thing. And we've also fallen into the kind of innocent belief that these things won't hurt us.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I think they were just maybe guilty of that, mm-hmm. those two things more than anything else.
Sure, sure.
I know there are people out there who are always looking for something else to tranquilize, say they're hunters that won't test. They legitimately are knowing that this is a performance enhancing drug that will cause those effects that the FEI is trying to ban, but they are legitimately searching out things that won't give you a positive test. This is a totally different situation that these people had.
Yeah.
They were not trying to do that.
They had proven
on many occasions that the product they were using didn't test. So it was legal, but it was just a bad situation all around with the contamination happening.
Yeah.
And the lack of quality control, etc. But yeah, it's, and I think
it's
just
the nature of the beast, though.
The nature of the beast. And I think the fact that this young man, because he's still very young, with a very promising career, who had kind of skyrocketed to, great things, it all just came crashing down and seems to have kind of halted him in his tracks. And, you know, a very good promoter of the sport in mm-hmm. France's stead, just like, F this and pack it up and walk away, right? So,
well, of course, it seems unfair, but, you know, it's kind of like the Olympic athletes kind of claiming innocence. You know, I'm just taking supplements people are giving me. It's, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. but they know.
Yeah.
They know what's going on. It's, you can't cheat, and I'm putting that into quotations. You can't cheat and then claim that you weren't cheating when you get caught.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they were trying to find every angle they could, and it bit them in the ass. And that's the end of it.
Yeah.
So I sympathize with, especially, you know, and I do think, like, I sympathize with them in the sense that, you know, there's super talented riders who didn't need to be doing this.
Mm-hmm. I think that's good horses.
They had a good, sound foundation of training, et cetera, et cetera. You know, the micro amount of benefit this was giving them just was not worth the risk that they took.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is. And unfortunately, you know, like, rules are rules. Like, you can't have rules and have everyone follow the rules. And then when you get caught breaking the rules, go, oh, I don't like these rules.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's kind of the case here too.
Yeah. Yeah. I was at a talk probably about May last year with Ian Miller and his daughter, Amy Miller, who are both longtime riders now of the Canadian Equestrian team. And he was referring to not this case in particular, but the FEI rule. And his take on it is the rule's too hard. Yeah. Just because, you know, someone else could.
I don't disagree with him,
mm-hmm.
but if the rule's there, then you have to follow that.
Yeah. And I think there is no way you can go other than zero tolerance.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
I mean, I guess that's it. I mean, that's the same problem the Olympics have, you know, like it has to be zero tolerance. Whereas to me, I'm kind of like, well, shouldn't it just be case by case? Like, you know, if someone's taking cocaine and they're, you know, giving their horse cocaine and it's supposed to be doing equitation, aren't they just hurting their chances?
Mm-hmm.
You should. That's not a help. That's not a benefit. But at the same time, you're just kind of like, what? You know, why are they doing this? It's mm-hmm. silly. So, yeah, it's funny. You were at that talk with Amy Miller and Ian Miller, and then when Roger Miller was there, did you can't roller skate in a buffalo herd? I thought, well, this is perfect. It's true. This is another rule that a lot of people break this rule.
Yeah.
And they get in trouble for it. And they're like, what? What? You know, I just happen to be roller skating, and then there's this buffalo herd. It's not my fault.
Yeah. I've got no comment on that.
I'm glad I brought the conversation to a screeching halt. That's my job here, everyone,
mm-hmm.
on this conversational podcast to cause it to all stop. Well, thank you, dear, for that story.
Yeah.
All right. So unfortunately, we didn't have any comments on our last episode, even though it was a super exciting episode about Was it murder? I can't remember now. Anyway, oh, it was murder. Oh my gosh, that was, oh, that one.
Oh, yes.
No wonder right. No one commented. That was good.
Too depressing.
It was so grisly. Anyway, this episode was, I mean.
No one died.
No one died. Sure, careers were ruined. But hey, that's a question for listeners out there. What do you think of drug testing? And what do you think of rules for drug testing? Like, where do you stand on this? Like, some people, here's how it works. The overseeing, the bodies that oversee the sports, you know, they're influenced by government organizations who are giving them money, you know, and governments don't want to see the promotion of drugs. So these organizations pretty much are guaranteed to not be in favor of, you know, using drugs, using stimulants, whatever, for whether it's in human sports or sports using animals. But within those sports, the opinions are different. There's more a split,
mm-hmm.
you know, between people who are just kind of like, whatever, just let it all hang out, let everyone just take whatever they want. And then people who are just like, strictly, no, just keep it clean, you know. But the argument there is that it's never been clean. You know, sports have never been clean. There's always been stimulants being used in sports since sports were first sporties, you know, became professional sports. People have been, you know, angling for the edge over other athletes. You know, and it's hard to stop that from happening, and so just open the door to it all, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
Which I don't actually agree with, but...
Yeah, that was the downfall of Farlap, as we found out.
Yeah. And I think that, yeah, that's right. There's an example of a horse that was super, supernaturally talented that was just harmed by attempts to make it more talented, mm-hmm. you know. Rather than just trust in your horse and its spirit,
innate abilities,
ability in its spirit, its winning spirit, which I do believe, you know, sports animals have that desire to win. That's part of what makes them great, you know, they have like a competitive element to themselves. But I think that, I just think it's an interesting discussion though. And if anyone wants to write in and talk about it, well, this is your chance. You can write into the website, which is sneakydragon.com. That's where our show is hosted. You'll find episodes there, and you can, of course, go to the episode, and you'll find a space underneath to write your thoughts, feelings, opinions, and whatever else you want to say to us. Compliments for me? Or you can email us. Once again, it's sneakydragon. Sorry, it's not sneakydragon. It's sneakyd@sneakydragon.com. You can email us at that address. We have a Facebook page for Horse Mysteries. You can go there and leave comments. You can leave comments under this episode. She has it posted on the Facebook page, Horse Mysteries. So go there and state your opinion. And also compliments for me. Dear, in 2 weeks, we have another show.
Yep. Medical mystery.
It's a medical mystery? This wasn't a medical mystery.
No, this one was.
Okay.
It was a drug mystery.
It was a drug mystery. Okay. So next week, or sorry, in 2 weeks, we have a medical mystery.
Yeah.
And what is it called?
It's going to be called No Foot, No Horse.
Oh. Well, speaking as a former farrier, I'm a big believer in this. It's true. Without a foot, you have no horse.
Yeah.
Without a foot, you have no yard.
That's true.
It's a fact. All right, everyone. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. Bye.